plenty of decks don't get to draw three cards for one mana.
Well, I mean, all the good ones do.
Hi, I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome back to another installment of Cantrip Cartel. We're here for our third episode to give you guys your weekly dose of...
Nonsense,
nerd stuff, video games, pre-modern, whatever we feel like. Just a quick reminder for everyone, we will not be here next week. We're on a 3-on-1-off schedule. As much as we forget it or mess it up, we're trying to keep that to help keep like sanity a little better, especially with Matt doesn't work as much anymore, but I work a lot more. So getting an extra week off every month is very, very helpful to pursue other hobbies and other interests and rest a little bit. But no one cares about that. No one cares about us staying sane. Matt, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm all right. Work is a little stupid at the moment. So they introduced this system. I'm going to try to avoid details here, but who knows? Normally when Jake, you know all this. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure I've gone over it with the change and whatnot. But so if we were rewind at least maybe 2 months ago, right? Technician needs a part. They call a supply house. They call the what they need in. I run over there, grab it, take it to the technician. Yeah. Pretty straightforward. That's like, no, 9 times out of 10, that's how the parts acquisition stuff goes. And it's pretty straightforward. Very little can go wrong. As long as everyone does what they should do, there's very little that can go wrong. Like, the tech needs to actually order what they need. The supply house needs to pick the correct parts. I verify that they picked the correct parts, and then we're golden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently that was way too simple and efficient. So in the name of efficiency, we've managed to introduce another person in here. So technician A needs part. He puts it into a chat channel and in text describes what he needs. Now, anyone in the trades right off the bat will probably tell you there's at least one thing that could go wrong here. And that's technicians all use different names for the same fucking part.
There's
like any given part, there's at least two ways to describe what it is. Because people, for example, just the most basic one, right? A coupling. Some people call them couplings. Some people call them couplers.
Yep.
And like, so we've automatically got at least one fail point, right? Where like technician calls it one thing. The guy who's supposed to call it in, because that's the next step. So he puts it in text. Then somebody down in our main city who just sits behind a desk all day and has no idea what, in general, what these parts are actually used for. Although you can pick some of it up just like I did. But like in general, like he's not a technician. A non-technician then takes that list and calls a supply house.
Mm-hmm.
The supply, like he then places the order. Then they put in a message to a different group chat saying where that order is at, up, you know, an hour and a half away from the guy who's ordering it. And then I go pick it up. Now, why they thought adding another person to this process would make it more efficient, I don't know.
Is it meant to like standardize some of it, or are they hoping that like the one person they'll be able to like better track exactly what parts are getting ordered? Because I know we had a big problem with keeping stuff organized in the systems and on our vans and whatnot.
It doesn't have anything to do with that. Because, like, they still had to go in and in Service Titan put in what they ordered. So nothing on that side changed. It's literally just the ordering process. And I was told two main reasons with a sub-reason for one of them. Main reason one was efficiency. I swear to God, their argument is it is more efficient to order parts like this. And we'll go into why that's not true in a second.
To sending a text message describing the thing I need so that someone who isn't there can go to a website I haven't seen and order the part they think I meant.
To be fair, they mostly call them in, but yes. That's pretty much the description.
Okay.
So under that, this is the one with the subheading. Their plan was, we're going to be saving technicians so much time by saving them the process of calling in the parts. They can just make a list of what they need, put it in there, and we'll handle it all on the back end, right? So the idea here was, and it's a stupid one if you have any experience at all, it's one of those things that, like, if you don't know anything about what's going on, it might sound good on paper. But, like, the idea was, hey, instead of like calling around to a bunch of different supply houses, I can be working while somebody does that on the back end, and all I got to do is type up a list of stuff I need, and then the parts will just show up. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do anything else, right?
Yeah.
So that's I'm trying to steel man this. That is their A argument. The two big ones was one of them. B was the supposedly to save us money, because the person doing the ordering now is going to call around, basically shop around, and try to find us the cheapest part.
Are you kidding me? So the implication being that, isn't it to save time? Shouldn't we just order from the closest supply house?
Well, I was going to say, it sounds a lot like one and two conflict a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. Right? So right off the bat, there's already problems.
Uh-huh.
So here's what happens in practice. Our technician puts in a parts order to the chat. He waits 30 minutes for a response.
Yep.
The guy down in Indy orders the wrong part.
Uh-huh.
I get a ticket that if it had the right part on the ticket and the wrong part there, I would catch the mistake. But since the only information I'm given is what's on the ticket, I go, okay, cool. That's what we have. That's what they ordered. And then I drive an hour, show up to the technician's job site, and the parts are wrong.
Wow.
That just happened today. It's happened almost, like, it is a regular thing now.
That's amazing.
So, for example, today, they were putting in a water heater. He needed a 40-gallon short gas water heater.
Uh-huh.
I made a minor error that did not affect anything, and I will own up to that when I get to it, but it would have had no effect on the outcome had I caught it. What we got and what was actually put in on the ticket was a 40-gallon electric water heater.
Yeah, so it's not even short?
It was a short one. It was short.
Okay.
So a 40-gallon short, right?
Yeah.
Now, the part I missed was it was actually a 50-gallon. But here's why.
They gave you a 50?
They gave me a 50-gallon short electric. Now, here's why I missed that. I saw an electric water heater and immediately flipped a red flag. Because, we hardly ever sell electric water heaters. Yeah. Maybe 1 out of 10. And I know, because almost every water heater we install, I deliver it.
Yeah, you're the guy.
I'm the guy. Because, it takes, in effect, it very rarely does it take fewer than two people to... install a water heater, because there's two main places they hang out. There's exceptions, but there's two main places: in a basement or in a garage. If it's in a basement, you've got stairs to deal with. If it's in a garage, you have a stand you have to put it on. So every now and then, and to be fair, today was one of those exceptions where the water heater was just hanging out in the kitchen. They had a closet in the kitchen. So I, in the strictest sense, wouldn't have had to have been there to help them get the old one out and the new one in. But I was there anyways, and I always help out the techs whenever I can. Whether I want to or not, it's my job. And that's what actually pays my check. Is this guy selling a water heater, that's how I get paid. So whether I want to or not, I'm here. Let's just get it done so I can get back in my truck and move on. So that's my red flag went, oh, wait a second. Are we supposed to be getting a 50 gallon? Or are we supposed to be getting an electric? And I look on there, I'm oh, it is electric. I confirmed that it was electric on the thing. Just to make sure, because it's very easy, but sometimes things get mixed up. The gas water heaters have blue print, and the electric ones have red print, ink they use on the box. So I knew right away it was electric, and then so I was just but I double checked it and whatnot. And I was cool, this is the one we need, and it was really even nice. A short one, so I didn't. I was basically I missed one digit on the actual thing, the difference between the 40 and the 50 gallon.
Yeah, but like you said, it doesn't impact the usefulness of this unit.
No, because this water heater is completely wrong. It won't work, and I don't find out until we walk into the house so I can get the old one out with him, and it took me a second to process it, because I just had to subconsciously work out the issue here. I'm wait a second, he's unhooking a flue.
Yeah, there's no flue on an electric water.
There's no flue on an electric water heater. What are we doing? Because in general, and I know you know this, Jake, but for the people who don't, you almost always replace like for like. So if they had an existing gas one, you're 99 times out of 100, putting in a gas one.
Uh-huh.
It's very rare that you swap those two things because they're set for it. And to be fair, most people prefer gas anyways. So if you can have a gas one, you kind of want a gas one.
Yeah, it's way more efficient.
Right. So, like, I was like, hey, Josh, did you order an electric water heater? He's like, no. I was like, because that's what's in my truck.
Yep.
And he's like, seriously? I was like, yeah. And I even checked the ticket. They ordered an electric water heater.
But Matt, the efficiency, the time saving.
So we're not even done. That was the big mistake. It also was delayed another 20 minutes because the dude who called in the parts to our supply house forgot to order a couple things.
Uh-huh.
And so I go there, pick up all the stuff. I'm 15 minutes away from it, and I get a message. Bing! Hey, by the way, I didn't tell you, there were two parts that I forgot to order. There's going to be a second bag there, which, to be fair, wasn't there when I was there, so there's no way I was going to catch this. But, like, he put the message in, like, 15 minutes after I already got the parts. So then I turn around, go back, make a second trip to this place.
Of course.
The technician put the request in for the parts before 2 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get to him until 4 o'clock, and then I had the wrong water heater.
I think this is a phenomenal change. I think all the complaints we had about how things are getting to be taking too long and being super inefficient, I think this is the solution.
Right. So, like, these people just don't have hot water for the night because I'm an hour away from any supply house, and they all close in 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's by the time it's like 4:15, 4:20, by the time, like, all this stuff is going down.
Don't you love paying a premium price for a product and having internal incompetencies ruin your evening?
Oh, yeah. It makes us, as a company, look great, right?
Oh, yeah. That's,
like,
phenomenal.
We promise same-day service and, like, all this stuff, and then it's like, oh, by the way, we can't pull that off because the people calling the shots and the people executing the bad calls are both wildly incompetent.
That's awesome. I'm sorry you have to deal with that. And I'm sorry they have to deal with that, but I don't know, man. Keeps making me feel like I made the right decision at changing careers.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I didn't at the time, but I was like, so on top of that, so that's the change that I've told you about, but that was just the incident that happened today, right?
Uh-huh.
That same process is now coming for me. Now I am on the list of people who can be dispatched from Indy. So if they need a part going to wherever, that's just now my job.
What do you mean? So are they going to have you run parts to the main branch?
If it's needed, yes. Like, I got told today I will be put in a giant group chat message thing. And, like, every now and then, or however often they need it, they'll be like, hey, Matt, we need you to run this from here to here. I was like, so I'm just delivering parts down in
our main service area.
Yeah. She's like, yeah.
Sounds efficient. Anytime and they've got you driving an hour minimum to get to the job, actually 90 minutes minimum to get to the job site, seems efficient.
Yeah. And so, like, my job just radically changed once again.
Uh-huh.
And
weren't they trying to get you to re-up to the higher position?
Oh,
they promised you that it wouldn't change?
Uh-huh. Just last week, literally, I had that conversation because they want me to take the previous position I had because the person they hired there is just a fucking moron. Shocking. Uh-huh. And so they're, like, basically begging me to take it again. And I was like, look, they're like, you know, some of the stuff you didn't like doing, that position doesn't really do it anymore. And I was like, yeah, but what happens when I take this position and then in 6 weeks, a bunch of stuff just gets dumped on it again, which is what happened to me in the first place.
Yeah, that's what they're ignoring is the first time you took the job, none of that stuff was associated with it. And then immediately it became your problem.
Correct. So now, I mean, I for sure am not going to be taking that because fuck that noise.
That's
and
awesome.
Now the same thing's happening to me in this position, and it gets even better. Guess who, de facto, now mows the fucking grass, Jake?
Oh, now you're the lawn care?
Yeah, because we need to save some money.
Oh, my God.
So I had to go to one of our people's houses, pick up a fucking lawnmower, bring it to work, and, like, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, well, you're going to have to tell me to do it. At no point am I going to volunteer to do this.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, this is not part of my job.
Are they? Is the lawnmower at least living there? Or are you going and borrowing someone's
lawnmower?
Yeah,
the lawnmower's there. Basically, someone we both know donated a lawnmower.
Got you. Okay.
And it's just because there's no one else to do it. I haven't. That's awesome. I haven't been formally told that it's my now it's my responsibility to do this. There's just no one else that can or will do it.
Uh huh. So now it falls to you. It's your problem.
Right. So guess what? I am like the anti-babysitting kind of guy. Like, none of my bosses have ever had to tell me to do anything. Like more
is
than
that gonna,
once. Like,
is that going
to
change?
Oh yeah, I will never voluntarily do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny doing it.
But you're never going to be like, I'm bored. I guess I'll go mow the lawn again.
Yeah. If you want the lawn mowed, you're going to have to tell me.
That's amazing.
And then I will decide whether or not I want to continue working here every time you ask me.
Like, I want your job to be, like, you did a nice job going. You had a really good setup, and I really want it to stay that way. But it's really funny to, like, as I have basically given up on that company from the position of my, or from the standpoint of my position, I gave up on them. And it is always fun to watch something you gave up on spiral downhill like you thought it would. I'm sorry that you're still in that ship.
Well,
but
and to be fair, I also have, like, I called this, like, I was like, we might be in trouble, like, 2 years ago. Like,
yeah.
So, like, I've just, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to, like, try to move up, because I'm like, the people, like, I went up, I was on the bottom rung of the ladder, barely even, in my opinion, even on the ladder. Like, I was, like, the lowest ranked full-time employee on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally, I don't want to have to worry about anything here. I took one rung up, immediately hated it, did it for fucking, like, 8 months, learned a whole lot of information that basically everyone up, not everyone, but a lot of the people on the higher rungs are fucking morons.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the big takeaway from a lot of your time.
I'm going back down to the bottom.
Like, yeah. That was
and now 100%. They're like dragging me up a rung.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. I'll give it a couple weeks, and if this is just a nightmare, then I just won't do it anymore. I'll just go find another job. Like, I don't make enough money to hate my job.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to hate working here, I'm going to go do something where I actually get... The only reason I stay at this job is I frequently have downtime, and I don't hate what I currently do.
Yep.
Like, when I'm actually working. If either one of those things change, I'll just go find a job that will actually pay me a decent wage.
Yeah, like there's a price to be uncomfortable at work that most people, I mean, moderately uncomfortable at work that most people are willing to accept. You're not in that price bracket.
No, and don't get me wrong, like cutting the grass, we have very, not, I don't want to, like, it probably take me about an hour to cut the grass there because it's just a little, tiny little push mower. Like, we don't have a ton of grass, but that's
dude,
not the point.
It's just this slippery slope of like.
Oh, I know.
Every 4 weeks, something else is changing and getting just dumped on someone's lap, and it's gotten to the point where everyone's lap is so full that the only place for stuff to go now is into your lap.
Right. And on top of that,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say on top of that, you and I have talked about this before, but several of the benefits that I got when I started there have been taken away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I literally make less money than when I started in total. And now I have more to do.
You don't have a tool account.
I don't have a tool account.
You get less sick days.
I get... That actually doesn't apply to me. I actually talked to them about that. That's only technicians. The office personnel are separate for that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And they never explained that in the meeting, which is what I threw in their face when we... Because, I actually got in an argument with my two bosses about this. And I was like, yeah, it kind of sucks that, like, I keep showing up to work and, like, I have fewer benefits now than when I started. And I said that one, and they were like, oh, that doesn't apply to you. I was like, well, nobody made that clear at the fucking meeting we all had. Like,
that's a huge
fucking distinction.
The branch manager stood up in front of all of us and laid out the new policy. They didn't make you sign it. Did they make you sign the paper for it?
I don't know. I don't remember if I did or not.
My boss at the time, like 2 days later, drove around and met everyone on the job site they were on and had them sign and agree to the new policy.
Yeah.
Like, they were taking it pretty serious.
Yeah, they just failed to mention the fact that it doesn't apply to the office personnel.
Yeah. I'm sure it was accidental. I doubt that it was intentional at all.
I know, but it's still stupid. It just kind of shows you the what we're dealing with.
Oh, I was implying it was intentional.
Oh, well, honestly, I don't think it. I don't think they, because there's only a few office people there, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they intentionally deceived me. I think gotcha. They probably intentionally didn't bring it up in the meeting in order to not cause problems, because right away, what that says is there's now two tiers of attendance. Yeah. There's a different policy for office people than there is technicians. And I understand, like, I'm not condoning it, but I can understand why the management would be like, yeah, we're not going to just tell everyone here all at once that, by the way, office personnel can call off sick and no one else can.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
So, like, she actually brought it up as soon as I said it. Like, she acted confused.
Oh, yeah.
She thought, she was like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't think they intentionally tried to deceive me. I think they were intentionally deceiving all the technicians.
Okay, that makes sense then. That's fair.
But yeah, and then there's that. Like, we don't get a Christmas bonus anymore. They no longer provide snacks or drinks anymore. Like, all the things that they, a lot of these things they actively used to negotiate with me to come work for them.
Uh-huh.
Like.
Yeah. They sold themselves on a lot of really cool little perks
and then took them all away,
have been stripping them away slowly but assuredly.
Yeah, so anywho, so work's kind of stupid at the moment. It's still not mm-hmm. hard, like,
yeah.
It's just one of those things where, like, unless I'm doing something serious, like, I would put up with some bullshit at FedEx and it just wouldn't even cross my mind that I should start looking for another job, because I'm like, I'm kind of bought in here. I've never bought into where I'm at. Like, it's always been as soon as this job becomes, like, more trouble than it's worth, I'm going to go find a new one.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I like what I'm doing, but if this changes, I'm out. Because, like, I don't want to go up, and I can't go down. Like, so I'm not going to just stay where I'm at if it sucks.
Yeah, once this is no longer pleasant, then there's nowhere to go from here.
Right. So, yeah. Work has been kind of dumb. It's just, like, I have a hard time because, like, it's just so stupid. And the whole time, like, I was told about this. My boss told me about this, like, ordering process change. And I was like, that is a really bad idea. We should definitely not do that.
Uh-huh.
And I literally laid out why, like, immediately. And, like, the thing about me, I'm not a great ideas guy. I can problem solve and I can be creative. Like, if you just sit me in front of something and it's just like, I need you to figure this needs to work.
Yeah.
Like, I will figure out how. But I'm not gonna, like, create a whole system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one of the things I can fucking do is I can point the flaws out in a system right away.
Like, you can I spy the issues that are gonna come up.
Right. And it's like, and to be fair, some of those, I'm not saying I'm the only one. And maybe they foresee them, and maybe they have a good retort as to why. But at the very least, I can go, well, I'm a part of this process on a daily basis. Here's why that's going to cause some problems.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like no one in our company has that impulse.
Interesting.
Like, and from what I was told today, like, the change where, like, I can now be, like, dispatched from our main hub, that happened because of one incident. Basically, somebody did something stupid. They were like, somebody south of our main hub spent like 4 hours picking up parts because they didn't coordinate with the main hub, and they could have and saved everybody some time, right?
Yeah.
So one person fucked up once, and now we're going to overhaul how we dispatch our crew as opposed to just solving the personnel issue. I'm not even saying fire, but like, hey, like, by the way, if you're going to drive more than this time, like, because we do it all the time. We meet halfway. Like, if we need something from the main hub in our branch, we meet halfway. We have a spot that we pretty much meet there every time.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. Because, like, it doesn't make sense to just have me sitting around at our branch and have a dude from the main hub drive an hour and a half up.
Yeah.
And then an hour and a half back, and I'm just chilling. Like, I can meet him halfway, grab what we need, and go directly to the job site or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Basically, that didn't happen once, so now we have to overhaul everything.
Seems right. That seems like what I would expect to happen, actually.
And nobody goes, hey, wait, just pump the brakes here.
Uh-huh. Like, maybe we can just, like, take a chill pill and it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Like, this ain't that fucking complicated, guys. I mean, it's just, It's nonsense. It's just, and that's to be, that's why I didn't want to move up any further rungs. I'm just like, I don't want to do this. Like, these people are really stupid.
It's like they just have a building full of people that are desperately trying to validate their job.
Oh, that's actually exactly the problem. And the cause of that, which is the cause of a lot of the problems of this company, is they tried to grow much too quickly.
Uh-huh.
And so that has created problems with the branches that are existing, not having enough business because our prices are so high, because they have to support the overhead, the massive overhead that we have.
Crazy, crazy overhead.
You have people who were, where they go, okay, well, we've created this position. It needs this, like, for example, let's just take a legitimate position and go, okay, we're going to create this position A. It actually does need done. It's not a bullshit one, right?
Yeah.
But since it's not being done, we have to put someone in it, as opposed to taking the time to grow naturally. You're basically shoving, like, square pegs into round holes.
Yeah.
Going, here's somebody who's probably not qualified, for one reason or another,
yep.
And we're just going to have to make it work.
But I need bodies. I just need someone to fill this role and make it work.
Right, because a mediocre person in this role is better than nothing.
Uh-huh.
And we cannot not have somebody.
We can't have nothing.
We can't have nothing, so we just need somebody with a pulse.
Yeah.
And, like, almost everyone I talk to, like, so in my previous position, I was actually on a regular basis communicating with a lot of people down there.
Mm-hmm.
The only impressive person I ever spoke to, I won't say his name, but, like, there was one. I'll just say, describe him or her. There's one.
Many hundred people work for our company in total, and probably a few hundred work in that building.
Yeah, and I didn't talk to them all, but let's just say there was 25 people that I, you know, touched base with or whatever. One of them was an impressive person. Where I was like, oh, I can see why you got the job.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
And I'm not saying there aren't any, because, like, I'm sure the people who own our company are impressive people. The people that are, you know, direct reports to them. But, like,
the company's too big and successful to be run by just a bunch of idiots. Like, like, all of them can't be idiots.
But a lot of the people in the middle are.
Yeah, they sure can be, because they definitely are.
And there's too many of them. And which goes back to your point. So they hired all these people. We hit a down slump in business. So, like, not enough revenue is coming in. I guarantee fucking to you, every single person there is just going, I have to justify my position. I have to be working, because I'll be fucking fired if I'm not.
Before I quit, they laid off a whole department of, like, 7 people, and then I quit, which happened to coincide with a week before I quit. They laid off another couple dozen people in the company. Yep. I don't know if they've had more layoffs actual since technicians. Then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've laid off several dozen people at this point, and so it makes sense that everyone in there is just scrambling to be like, no, I'm... Look at this great thing I did. I'm important. I'm innovative. I'm making things better.
Yeah. So.
And quite the opposite, actually. You're making things way more complicated and way worse.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, this happened, like, almost immediately after they implemented it with one of our electricians. And I told you about this. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or not. But, like, it was the exact same thing where, like, only this time I got stuck working late because of it, which immediately pissed me off. And, like,
is it the week we couldn't record?
Yes. Gotcha. There was compounding factors, but, like, there was other stuff going on, and then that thing happened too, and I'm like, fuck this. Not the podcast, but, like, I was just like, this system just is not working. Because the fact of the matter is, playing a game of telephone to order parts, which in many cases have to be the exact part.
Yeah,
there's a tiny bit of wiggle room where, like, if you get the wrong thing, like, you can make it work because you can cobble something together that kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, it has to be the exact thing that they ordered. Because that's why they fucking ordered it. Because the job can't be completed without it. Or else they wouldn't order it.
And so keep in mind that, like, our trucks are full of parts. We have little miniature, like, stores with us. And none of those parts were it. And none of those were close enough to make, like, I have to have this thing. It's not like... You know, I don't walk into someone's house for my personal truck and go, oh, yeah, you need We're going to need 3 3-quarter elbows, a couple rings, and some whatever. Like, we carry all the basic bitch stuff on the vans. And none of that was what we needed.
Right. So now we need some specific stuff. And not to mention, if you're ordering a water heater, it kind of needs to be the right fucking thing.
It helps immensely.
Which, in classic fashion, because no one takes any responsibility for anything, the guy, like, he put in the chat thing again. He was like, hey, I ordered a 40-gallon gas short water heater, and I got a 50-gallon gas electric water heater. And the ticket says a 40-gallon electric water heater. I might have said gas electric, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the guy was like, well, that's weird, because I know I ordered gas.
Uh-huh.
Sure. You did. Yep, I'm sure you did, because, like, all the fuck-ups that have happened because of this, none of them have been your fault.
Uh-huh. Great.
I just told you right away where I messed up. It didn't cost anything, but, like, I got so distracted by the gas electric swap that I forgot to look at the size.
But yeah.
Mine didn't fuck anything up.
We also have someone in charge who can't take responsibility for their mistakes.
Yeah.
Which, yep. Like, that's... It's fucking part of it, man. Like, I've already bought... So, at my new job, I've actually already bought a lot of, like, credibility with people because I own up to all my mistakes all the time. And so, like, we'll be talking about something. And we'll be talking about how the other guy breaks things all the time. And we'll be going through something, and I'll be like, and I'll stop and I'll go, hey, just so you know, well, that right there, I did that. I don't know if I did it wrong or not, but I did this thing. And then we can address it and move on. And I've had multiple people be like, oh, man, it's nice to have someone, like, just say they did something and mm-hmm. stand behind it, whether it was a mistake or not, because I could have fucked up. But just, I've already gotten credibility from people being like, thank you for just saying you did it, because no one does.
Yep. The fact of the matter is, and this is coming from somebody who's, like, I've been a manager. This is, like, the first place I've worked that I've, like, refused to be a manager.
Uh-huh.
Everyone underneath you occasionally is going to fuck up.
Well, yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
We're people. Like, that's...
Right.
I can't stand a boss that, like, can't handle that, because there's a lot... I've had bosses before that don't understand that premise. Like, if something goes wrong or whatever, they jump down someone's throat or overreact, or people in the world, I'm sure you have, everyone has, where you bump into someone and, like, yeah, mate, you fucked up, you were driving, or you did a thing, or you messed your job up, and someone loses their shit, and I want to look at them and be like, so what's it like being fucking perfect? You never fucked up at all in your life? This is the first time, huh?
Yeah.
Because we're people. We're supposed to mess up. You don't do it all the time, but
yep.
I'm a human, you're a human.
Here's the thing, though, and this is one of the worst things about it from a management perspective. If you refuse to acknowledge you messed up, you cannot get any better. It's the same thing, like, if we're going to bring it back to Magic or gaming in general real quick, if every time you lose in Magic, it was a bad beat, and you did everything, you didn't make any mistakes that game, you just, you know, uh-huh. You lost because of bad luck, or your opponent drew the perfect 15 cards in a row, and, like, if you have an excuse for every time you lose, you will never improve. I assume, when I play Magic, that my wins were lucky and my losses were my fault. Uh-huh. Like, that's at least a better way to start. In reality,
it's
somewhere in between on both. I've won a lot of games on my own merits, and I've won a lot of games on luck, and I've lost a lot of games because I suck, and I've lost a lot of games because of luck. If uh-huh. you mold a 5 or mold a 4 because it's no land, you didn't. Yeah. There's nothing you can do there, right?
Yep.
Sometimes that happens.
You'll have legitimately 3 unplayable hands in a row. And, like, there'll be... sometimes you'll get unlucky, you'll be playing a combo deck, and one of your important combo pieces is in the bottom third of your deck.
Yep, it happens.
Like, that happens.
But if, as an employee... that's your go. Like, if you have just a bullshit excuse every single time you fuck up, and you're uh-huh. fucking up a lot, then I'm just going to get rid of you. Or at least I'm going to want to.
Yeah. You take no responsibility, and you see no issue with what you're doing.
And you'll never remove.
That's what drives me crazy about the guy we work with. Like, he keeps breaking stuff, and he's a kid. He's like, he just turned 20, I think, or 19. And so, like, every time you tell him something, he... has something to say back about why he does it this way, or no, it's better to do it this way, or I like it that way, or blah, blah, blah. And I always want to be like, yeah, but you fucking break everything, so maybe listen to what we say for once.
Right.
Like, he does several things. So, like, a big part of our job is loading feed into a mixer. And I park the mixer outside of there's a barn we drive through. I park it outside of it. Because inside the barn, we have some, it's kind of hard to describe, but they are like little feed distributors that hang off the wall. And it's a little motorized head. You turn the button on, and it'll pull feed out of a silo and dump it just out into the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but he parks the mixer underneath of those. I'm guessing so that he can, when he's done dumping the food in, he can just push the button up to move it. But when he is dumping the food in, his bucket is like 18 inches away from these hanging motorized augers. And every mm-hmm. time I see it, I cringe. And the first time I saw it, I was with our actual supervisor. And I was like, why do you do that? Don't park there. You almost hit that. I saw it. And he's like, no, I do this all the time. It's fine. It's better. It's faster. And I'm not his fucking manager. I'm not going to tell him he can't do it. But, like, I'm going to come in one day, and he's going to have ripped one off. Or all of them, because they're all next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows better, and it's better to set the mixer up there where he has to get within a foot and a half or a foot of these with his giant bucket that he can't see the end of.
Yep.
And that's the shit that drives me crazy. Because everyone has mistakes and breaks things. I've had mistakes and break things. But like that, when you destroy one of those, it's not a mistake. You're being a fucking idiot.
It's called negligence for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. It's negligence. Well, and that's, again, if we want to bring it back to magic briefly, touching on that, like with the whole like Mike Flores, like you guys probably aren't just fucking up burn thing. That's what's happening right there. You have someone who actually has some expertise trying to tell someone who thinks he knows better what's going on, and the guy just won't listen. So eventually, it's literally inevitable. He's going to fuck it up and break something. You know how many times I had this happen at FedEx when I was training people? And I was like, hey, dude, I'd train them. I'm like, stay the hell out of driveways.
Yeah.
Like, literally, just don't go in driveways. There's no, unless the weather's clear and it's like you're on a county route and there's no alternative, but like, don't back up into driveways.
Yep.
Cool. A week later, hey, I hit a basketball hoop in a driveway. Yeah, cool. So where the fuck are you not supposed to be?
Yeah. It's almost like we talked about this. We had that talk every winter where it's like, hey, it's winter now. Stay out of driveways.
Yeah. Because if you're going to get stuck, it's in a driveway.
Yep. And within a week, you have to go pull someone out of a driveway because you told me, because like, we used to talk all the time at work, but like you would have the discussion like that day, and then that day be driving out to pull someone out of a driveway because they backed into the driveway, they couldn't see the edge of the driveway, and fell off it onto the ground. Now they can't get out.
Yep. And then I'm the asshole because I'm like, because I get mad.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like,
come over and give them shit appropriately because they're stupid.
Right. And it's like, dude, you've done this. This is your first winter. I've been here for 8.
Yeah.
You might want to take my fucking advice. Because guess who taught me? The guy who's been here for 15.
Uh-huh.
So between us, we have 22 years of experience. How much do you have? None.
Less. Significantly less.
So maybe, like, dial it fucking back a minute and accept the fact that you're new, you don't actually know anything, and you should listen to people who do. That's one of the things that drives me nuts about a lot of like fiction and whatnot is when they have like basically children being good at anything relative to adults. It's just like, that's actually one of my favorite things about Harry Potter is like the adults are kind of like, they have to be a little oblivious because like Harry can't do anything if like the adults just come in and save the day every time. But like when it comes to actually being a wizard, the adults like make the kids look like idiots because like they've been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah.
And you're 11.
So did you ever watch Naruto?
I've watched some of it, but I've never like watched it in mass or anything. Like
Naruto does that really well. There's lots of situations where Naruto has to fight adults and he does like kind of pull his way out. But like any time that like Naruto, either in regular or Shippuden, actually legitimately interacts with any of the Jonin in the village, it's a fucking joke. It's hilarious. And it's because you're 14, you've been learning to fight for the last like 4 years, and I'm 30 and I have been fighting for my life for the last 15 years. Every fight, like I only fight against undefeated people and I'm still living.
Right.
So like anytime you like Naruto has to fight against Kakashi, like the first introduction, Kakashi is like, you guys just graduated school, you're ready to start learning. You can do whatever you want, and you can throw whatever weapons you want. All three of you have to attack me at the same time, go. And like he's reading a book while kicking their ass, because you're just not, you can't compete. It's not even comparable. And even when he when they come back and ship it in, and so like Naruto's like, they're like 16 or 17, but they've been for, so Naruto and Sakura are the ones who are fighting Kakashi in this one, and they've been training with two of the most powerful ninja kind of in the world, Tsunade and Jiraiya. And so Kakashi has like a little ace in the hole. He has a Sharingan he can pull out. But it's the same thing where he's like, you guys do whatever the fuck you want. You can use any techniques you want and try and beat me. And he's reading a book the whole time because you can't, when you did, he's a grown up and you're children. You have no idea what you're doing.
Yep. That's, who was that? That Greta Thunberg girl? It was the same thing. Like, you're being lectured. Like, you got some high school girl trying to lecture the entire world to stop using petroleum products. And it's just like, do you want like 100 million people or more to just die overnight?
Yeah. Just a 17-year-old girl who thinks she has everything figured out.
The best lampooning of her, in my opinion, was like, this girl is so stupid. She won't go to school unless the adults change the weather. Like,
I don't think that's what she was getting at.
That's exactly what she was getting at.
I thought what happened was, and I mean, like, I'm not knocking with her aspirations to want a cleaner, greener world. But yeah, to parade her, and it's not even entirely her fault. It's whoever's in charge of that. And who, the problem is, and no one talks about this, like, she was just a mouthpiece that was used by a bunch of fucking grown-ups. Like, she's 17. She doesn't have any connections to get on stage at the Paris Accords, whatever it was, the world leaders discussing climate change. So someone's using her as a mouthpiece, which she is a child. But like, she just gets up there and just spouts a bunch of things that she really wants to happen and thinks are really cool and wants us to be greener. And you should be ashamed for, wasn't that a bit like she was trying to shame everyone for allowing, allowing the world to be polluted.
Well, that's the thing is like that joke of her isn't that far off. Like she literally was saying, I will not attend school because fossil fuels are still being used.
What a silly, like, what a weird hill to die on. Like, why would I care?
Literally, what she wanted was the entire world, or at least the Western world, to abandon fossil fuels.
Yeah.
That was her ask. Like,
that ends in a lot of people starving to death.
Right. And don't get me, I know it's a joke, but the reason why is the weather. Like, I know it's boiled down to be a joke, but like, she wants people to abandon fossil fuel use so that the weather changes, the climate, but fundamentally the weather. That's the joke. Like, that's a nonsensical position.
But it's just so, it's such, what a silly threat, stupid, of dude. Like, I'm not gonna go to school.
Well, that was her protest, is like, I shouldn't have to go to school. Why should I go to school? The world's gonna end in 10 years. 10 years later, the world's still running.
It didn't end yet.
She's an idiot, is basically what it boils down to. She's an idiot, like, who's being used.
I don't want to get into a big philosophical discussion on climate change with you here, so I'll say my two cents, and you can say your two cents, and we'll go on from it. I don't know exactly how I feel about it, because a lot of the science behind it makes sense, and some of the data seems to track, but the problem is, we've been screaming the sky is falling for like 25 years.
Longer than that. Just continue, but longer than that.
Sure. Okay, yeah, but for decades. And, like, I don't know, the sky hasn't fallen yet, and it hasn't started to really badly fall yet. So I really want to, like, be a big supporter of, like, anti-climate change. And I am a huge supporter of, green energy, because making green energy, like, profitable and, like, efficient is a win for everybody, like, just having more energy available. But this idea that the world's going to fall apart and we're going to run out of oil just hasn't really panned out very well.
Yeah. Again, I won't go into it either super deep, but I will say this. I am skeptical that any institution that is trying to get governments to grant themselves huge amounts of power and huge amounts of taxes, I am going to automatically be skeptical of, just as a default. So you better, like, have your shit in a row, right? Before I will even begin to consider what you're saying.
Yep.
Two, the only solutions that have been proposed are, to touch on your green energy thing, a bunch of stuff that is not even energy positive. So, like, it takes more energy to make a windmill and more fossil fuels to keep them running and make them than it does, than, like, if, than it saves. So they're not even carbon neutral. They're a net negative.
Mm-hmm.
These, like, electric cars are worse for the environment than gasoline cars. Not to mention, they're supposed to replace them on a one-to-one basis, right? Like, in theory, well, we're now making cars to replace functioning cars.
Yeah.
That, like, work. So, like, we're just, it's just a, there's a lot more to it. I'll leave it at that. Secondly, as far as the electrical car things go, our grid can't handle it.
No.
And
not even close.
It's like all you ever hear out of people as, and I'm taking this, I will take it on faith that, like, they're, the projections for the climate are true. Let's just take that on faith for a second. Yeah. Their solutions fucking suck. So, like, because their solution is, again, dramatically reduce, they want the Western world to dramatically reduce fossil fuel usage, mm-hmm. which leads to the starvation and or death of millions of people.
Yeah.
The United States could drop off the fucking map. Like, you could literally snap your fingers and the United States would be gone, and it would barely make any difference in the projections because of India and China.
Yeah.
Like, all most of the technology isn't very good, and almost, not everyone, but almost everyone in this movement is anti-nuclear, which is the actual currently only working technology that generates even close to the amount of energy that fossil fuels do. So, like, the one thing that could actually maybe work, they don't want to use. And that, to me, screams ulterior motives.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's,
and
I
don't care about the science of it. I'm looking at the politics of it. Like, the politics and the economics of it are the people in charge, one way or the other, do not have our best interest at heart. They're just trying to make money. And, like, they're more the same people who want to complain to me and you about having pickup trucks that only get, you know, 15, 20 miles a gallon, whatever, will fly around the world nonstop in private jets.
Oh, yeah, that's...
like, it's just nonsense.
That hypocrisy has been, like, a big mainstay of the internet for a long time. It's like, well, I don't know, like, to tie it back to Greta Thunberg a little bit, I don't know if this was an example, but they have these like, climate change events every year that global world leaders all flock to in their private jets to attend and talk about how we need to work on maximizing the efficiency of the global power grid and try to minimize fossil fuels, and then they get back on their private jets and fly back around the world.
And that's one of the things, like, one of the things that if you study econ enough, you'll really not necessarily learn in, like, the book sense learn, because I'm sure you know this, but you really, it gets kind of ingrained in you, and it's called demonstrated preference. So, like, say you're walking down the street and you see something in the window, like a candy bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the candy bar is $10. And you're like, wow, I really don't think a candy bar is worth $10.
Yep.
So you move on, right? So to you, that candy bar is worth less than $10, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
The only way we can know for sure whether or not you value that candy bar at $10 or more is for you to actually go in there and buy it. Because until you do, everything you've said is basically meaningless. You can say all day that you value that candy bar more than your $10. But until you make the purchase or the trade voluntarily, we don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah. Well, I think
these people are demonstrating their preferences, basically, what they actually believe. Look at their actions. And their actions don't scream to me that they're horribly concerned about the environment, because they're massively polluting.
Yeah, they're not taking all the steps they could to minimize their footprint.
No.
That's just an example. And I'm not knocking them necessarily for doing it, because, like, these world leaders are recognizing that their time is more valuable than their contribution to the problem. Maybe it is. It might not be. It's probably not worth it for these leaders to spend the extra 10 to 20 hours it would take to fly commercially, basically get on a bus and transport themselves there. That is too much time lost to them. They could be working on other problems or accomplishing things. But like Matt just said, that also means that that's where they rate the problem is well below their time efficiency.
Not only that, literally everyone thinks that.
Yeah.
That's why everyone drives instead of taking a bike.
Yeah.
Like riding a bike.
That's also true.
Because everyone, that's the whole, I mean, the funny thing is, that's the whole value of fossil fuels. Because yeah. like, if you think about, if we were want to rewind back before fossil fuels, right? If you wanted to drive, like say you wanted to travel 60 miles, like which in just on average would take you an hour now, right?
Yeah.
That would take you all fucking day. Like
I'm pretty sure horses walk at around 6 miles an hour.
Right.
So that's 10 hours of walking to take care of your horse. If you throw it at a trot, maybe 5 hours, maybe 4 hours. But yeah, to drive to 60 miles, which I mean, we may have international followers, but like, just so you know, we're in Indiana. An hour drive is not, I would drive an hour for dinner.
Right.
Like if Matt was like, hey, there's,
you drive probably 35 minutes to work
every day.
Right.
Yeah. Like, but if Matt called me and was like, hey, there's this really cool steakhouse in whatever town. It's about an hour, hour, 15 minutes away. We kind of want to go hit it up. You want to go there tonight? I'd be like, yeah, 4 o'clock. Sure. Let's go out. I'll drive an hour to get dinner. That's fine. I don't give a shit.
And here's the deal. Driving an hour on average, that 60 miles is going to cost you $5.
Yeah.
There's no form of energy that can do that much work. Like in the physics terms, work for that low cost.
Yeah, not yet, just, at least.
Not yet. It just doesn't exist. So unless everyone takes a massive fucking haircut,
yeah,
we're going to keep using fossil fuels. Because again, the people at the top value their time. I value my time. And everyone, I'm putting myself right at the bottom. I make fucking $16 an hour.
Yeah.
Right at the bottom. I'm on the ladder, but right at the bottom, same thing at work. We're like, everyone in between does as well. Very few people. Like, stick to their guns. Now, to be fair, I actually have, even if I disagree with them on any policy, I actually have a lot of respect for people who, like, if they have principles, stick by them. So, like, if you're, like, a climate change, like, hardcore activist or whatever, and you do legitimately bike to work, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm all on board. Like, live your principles. I do. I live my principles. You should, too. Yep. Mine is, I want to get to fucking work. And my time is valuable.
It is. It's very valuable.
I'm gonna hop in my truck, which I have because it provides me utility outside of that, outside of just being fuel efficient, and I'm gonna drive to work. We've gone way too long on this nonsense.
Yeah, we have.
But like, that's what we do. We go down a rabbit hole and just keep talking nonsense.
Well, here, I'll tell you what. Run through our patrons real quick. We'll run through what I've been fussing with. We'll do a little bit on pre-modern, and then we'll head over to the Patreon episode.
Sure.
Sound good?
Yeah.
So every week we give a shout out to our patrons. We always want to tell them thank you for supporting us. It's very, very amazing that we have so many people that like give to us in a very direct way to help make improvements to the show, help make improvements to the pre-modern table. So we really appreciate it. We always give a huge shout out to all of them, including Asphalt, Emperor, Ramblin' Rogue, Ashley, Eric, Monowolf, Ethan, CJ, Ted, Mumbledown, Rob M, Limit of Questions, Derek T, His Force, and Jasper. Thank you guys. At some point, I should update this list. I think it's kind of old and out of date, but those are all people who are patrons or have been patrons, and we greatly appreciate them regardless. If you guys want to get access to the private Discord we host, where we talk to everyone, we have all kinds of discussions going on between Legacy, Modern, a little bit of pre-modern, other nerd hobbies that may or may not be going on. Every tier gets you into the private Discord. And then we also have a extra content tier where Matt and I record probably between 30 and 45 minutes of content every week. And that goes up to the patrons only. So hopefully we see you guys over there. If not, we're happy to hear you, or happy to see you here on the main episode. But to move the discussion along, I don't have much going on. So I'm working on starting another little hobby, and I'm going to wait and to get into it until I've gotten to do it a little bit. Because I basically, all I've done has been hyper-focused or hyper-obsessed on some YouTube videos for a few weeks, enough that I've trimmed some more on the Magic Collection. I sold some extra stuff I had, and I've invested that in some, basically a couple $100 in tools to see if I like this. So a little bit of mystery for the listeners, but I should know by the time you guys hear us again, because We won't be here next week, and I'll have everything by the end of this week. So by the time we record next, I should have gotten my hands dirty a little bit, and I'll see how I feel about it, and we'll talk about it then so I can give a little more of a comprehensive opinion on what's going on. Other than that, I've kind of run dry on gaming. I was really kind of hoping – I ordered a bunch of stuff, and I was really hoping more of it would be here by now so I could kind of be fussing with it. Today's my day off on Tuesdays because I just have hit kind of a wall with video games. Like, I beat Dark Souls 3 again. I haven't really wanted to fuck with that too much. Like, I beat Dark Souls 3, and then I did New Game Plus, and I just out of curiosity, wanted to see how fast I could do it, and I just kind of rushed through. I didn't time it or anything. But I had a lot of fun just kind of, like, rushing to bosses and just trying to rush through the areas. I beat Pokemon Sapphire. I started Pokemon Emerald and just got, like, I think my guys are, like, level 25-ish, and I just don't have the desire to hop on and...
You scratched the itch.
Yeah, it just, like... I could not wait to play Sapphire, and until I beat the Final Four, I could not wait to keep playing. And I just don't want to anymore, so I haven't as much. I need to tool around and, like, go play some of the other old games on that, because, like, what I'm getting at is, like, I played a bunch of Tarkov today, Tarkov Arena, and I do enjoy playing Tarkov Arena, but one of two things is happening. Either I've had very bad luck with the people I play with online, which is possible. They play during, like, they're a lot of them work from home or have stuff going on, but we usually play a couple games and they get off, so they could just be busy, or maybe they hop on, play a few, hop off, or they don't like playing with me, which is completely acceptable, but I'll usually play one or two games with them and then they'll get off and they'll go do some stuff. So, like, I've been playing a lot of Arena alone. I'm usually only good for 1 to 4 matches, 1 to 3 matches, and I'm like, I'm ready for a break. I've always had that problem, even like Modern Warfare or Battlefield or any of that stuff. I'll hop on and play by myself for an hour, 40 minutes, and like I could win 6 matches in a row, and it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, today I kind of spent the last, like, 4 hours today just bouncing back and forth. Like, I don't really want to play on MTG Arena. I've been scratching enough of the pre-modern itch with you that I haven't quite gotten into, like, working to find matches in the pre-modern lobby for MTGO, although I do have the rental account all set up. You know, like, Dark Souls 3 is not really doing it. Helldivers 2 is not really doing it. I need to go and, like, play Elden Ring some more and get ready for the DLC, but that doesn't come out for another month or two anyway. Tarkov's not really doing it. Pokemon's not really doing it. So I need somewhere. I do have the energy. I need somewhere to point this energy. So hopefully this new... I mean, I sat around today and just, like, twiddled my thumbs and got upset about how long it's taking everything to get in place, knowing full well that in literally 5 days, like, all of these little petulant, annoying thoughts of impatientness will never occur to me again, because I'll have all the stuff. But today doesn't help me today. I'm fucking bored. Yep. And want to do shit.
Yep, I hear you there. You're just like, kind of like, need fully, something to do today. It's my I one fully day recognize off this week.
That, like, Jake in 6 days won't give a shit about on Tuesday he didn't have the stuff in to do the project he wanted to do. But Jake on Tuesday's pissed about it.
Yep.
So I'm... kind of just kill time. And the other thing that kind of sucks, and probably one of the reasons why I'm kind of have a lot of energy right now, and I've just kind of been burning through some of the hobbies I have, is I'm coming up on the end of, like, a 3-week stretch of 4-day work weeks. Me and one of the guys I work with, we rotate weekends, and basically I wanted a day off to go hang out with Matt at the auction, and then it turned out he needed one of the weekends here coming up off. So we just traded. So he covered my weekend there. I'm going to cover his weekend there that coming up. But what that means is I have to work 3 weekends in a row. And what that means is I have to work six days a week for the next 3 weeks. So I'll get Tuesday off. I'll work Wednesday to Monday for 3 weeks in a row. I'm going to be very busy and very tired. But that means that I've been very underworked for the last couple weeks. And so I've had a lot of energy to go fuss around and do stuff and play on my computer and whatnot. So as soon as all my stuff gets in for my hobby, I'll have zero time to fuck with it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Which feels great. The good news is one of my buddies I hang out with on the weekends, he's busy this weekend, so I'll be able to squirrel some time away to go to fuss with it, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yep. Gotta go see my mom.
But that's pretty much, I mean, I haven't been doing much. I've been hanging out with Sarah a lot. I've been gaming a fair bit, but I said gaming so much that I've kind of burned out on what I got. So the only thing I haven't burned out on for sure is pre-modern, and we did get to another session of pre-modern in this week. We didn't really do a league. We just basically did randos back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of fun. The day definitely started a lot better for me than Matt. Basically, you brought it home at the end. You won the last couple matches, and you were able to bring it together. But I drew on fucking fire for like six games in a row where...
Yeah,
it was just a joke. Like, my decks just did their thing, and Matt's decks just didn't do their thing. And there was lots of games where it wasn't necessarily the decisions I made. I just drew the right cards.
Well, there were... I don't mind losing. I will preface that right now. Obviously, everybody will get, you know, annoyed at losing every now and then or whatever. But, like, general, I think I do pretty good at losing.
Oh, yeah. You never get upset about losing.
What does upset me is frequent non-games.
Yes.
And we had four in a row. By the fourth one. I mean, I would barely even say, to be fair, one of them, I guess it wasn't technically a non-game. Because, like... You did, like, because you were playing the rack. So I'm thinking of basically pit rack versus madness and then mud versus elves. Those were that's where I really started to get frustrated. Yeah. The funny thing is, you went off on game three against madness and I still won.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you were able
I still
to bring
took
it home.
That match. I was able to bring it home, but three out of the four of those games were just atrocious games of Magic. Yeah. So, like, game two of the pit rack versus madness, you went like, I think it was what, turn one or turn two, dark ritual, bottomless pit, the rack, planar void.
Graveyard hate for your, to try and slow down your value. And yeah, I got to do that twice in a row.
Yeah. And then I managed to fight through it on the third game and took the match.
Yeah. Game three you got, cause I didn't get anything else going on after that.
Yeah. Well, that's really... Like, not only was I on the play on game three, but on game two, you also then got a Hypnotic Spectre. You got a threat very early on.
Yeah.
So there was, like, because, like, I still had some game, but, like, the window was very short. Because it was basically, like, I don't have a hand, and I'm going to be taking, like, four damage a turn. Mm-hmm. And then you also got another thing, and it just spiraled out of there. So that was a very... But at first, I was like, oh, well, shit happens. It was kind of fun to see, because it was just like, well... I like Pit Rack. I think it's a cool deck. I actually wish it was better. I really wish they would just grandfather in him to Turok, but that's a conversation for another time, just to make Pit Rack better, right? So I was like, cool. Then it happened again, and I was like, fuck, okay. Well, I still managed to, like, win that one, but it left kind of a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, okay, well, now I'll play Elves, and you played Mud.
Yep.
And game one... was like turn two Metalworker with like 12 mana, dump your entire hand, including two Tangleworm.
Turn three. That was a turn three. But yeah.
Turn two, you played a three drop, and then turn three, you cast everything.
Yeah, I played, and for sure two of them were Tangle Wires. And I just never took another turn. Yeah, pretty much. And then I think the same thing happened game three where like, it wasn't as fast. It was, like, turn three or so, I played a Metalworker. You got a board going, and then I went, yeah, I'm going to make 12 mana. And, no, it was, what I'm going to make 12 mana and then cast Mastacore.
Yeah.
And, like, kill all your elves. So, I don't know what you just accomplished, but good luck.
Yeah. So, it was just like, oh, cool, another non-game. So, like,
yeah,
I was just like, by the end of that, I was, like, really just fucking annoyed.
Yeah. Well, I get it. That's...
Well, and one of the things, so that's, as far as pre-modern goes, the funny thing is we're talking about two of those decks just, I don't want to say aren't in the meta, but don't have a big meta presence.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the things I like about pre-modern is there are very few games like that. Like, there's really only a couple decks that do, like, stupidly powerful shit that fast. So, like, you almost always have a game of Magic. It may be one-sided, but, like, very rarely do pre-modern games just boil down to, like, one side just plays a game and the other one doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, and we've talked about one of the nice things about pre-modern, for the most part, is, like, it happens often enough that your deck can do its thing, but you still have a game. Like, your deck goes off and does its thing. That's, I mean, like, some of them, not so much, but there's lots of times where the deck did its thing, and then we had a game of Magic for four more turns, and then someone won or lost.
Right. These weren't those games.
No, they were not.
And it was frustrating because, like, we don't play a ton of it. Like, we don't play a ton of pre-modern. We play basically once a week for a few hours, right? And I'm just sitting here like, well, the past two matches were just a huge waste of fucking time.
I maintain I had fun.
And that's fine.
Those games were great examples of sometimes in Magic there's a finite amount of fun.
Well, like, at least from my perspective, like, if I'm doing that, I don't even have fun. Because, like, I still didn't play Magic. I literally tapped a Metalworker and won the game.
I get that.
You know what I mean? Like, and you've seen this, and I love when we sit there and we play a fucking 40-minute match that probably would have gone to fucking time in an actual tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so close, and, like, we're making, like all these tight decisions, and we're trying to trick each other. Like, that, and then I lose. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, good fucking game. Yeah. Like, you got, like, I love that. Like, that's how I want to spend my time playing Magic. Not, well, me or my opponent just drew into the perfect seven. And I know we were just talking about this earlier, but that is literally what happened.
Basically, like, yeah. Yep. Once I'll tell you that I do get enjoyment out of being able to just kind of bend a game of Magic around my finger based on luck. But I mean, like, I do find enjoyment in that. But I do agree that it is a lot more fun to, like, because we played a couple, like, it was Standstill versus...
No,
was it like Standstill versus Black and White or whatever? Like,
no, it was... I know which one you're talking about, and that was
I was playing Standstill, and you were playing Stifle Knot. And it came down, like, I decked because you were able to stifle all of my Decree of Justice triggers. I was able to kill all of your Dreadnoughts, but I had basically just cast, like, two Factor Fiction and had, like, 10 cards less than you.
Yep.
And that is what ended the game. We got to the end of it, and it was like, well, I only have 12 cards left in my library, and there are no creatures, and you have 20 cards, so I can't win.
Yep. Like, that kind of shit's... That is a lot more fun. Don't get me wrong. As an elf player, like, it is cool to, like, go off. But that, even then, that's one of the things I love about elves. Is it's not just, like, tap Ancient Tomb and Lotus Petal, cast Show and Tell. Like, when you go off with elves, it's a lot of fucking work. Like, there's so many different lines and what you had to fucking, there's even a little bit of luck involved because it's not deterministic at all. Like, that we're talking about, like, a glimpse chain. Like, things can go wrong there. And it's just like, when it happens, it feels like you won because of skill. Because, like, you can have the perfect seven and still fuck it up.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a lot of these things, and I'm not talking about these games in particular this weekend, but a lot of times... Combo decks are just like, well, you had the perfect seven and there was nothing anyone could do because, like, the combo is cast Show and Tell.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not trying to just shit on Show and Tell, but, like, those kind of combos, like, and that's what it felt like. It felt like playing against Show and Tell, and Show and Tell literally made me buy Blue Red Delver. Like, Show and Tell and Reanimator in Legacy made me buy Blue Red Delver.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Because I was just like, I want to play a deck with Force of Will because I'm tired of my... Because I went to... I was in the top eight of my second Legacy 1K, and three games in a row turned to Grizzlebrand.
Yeah, they just do the thing, and a game of Magic didn't happen.
Well, and the funny thing is, notice I said three. I beat one of them.
Uh-huh. Like,
which is really fucking hard to do, but I did.
It's
just like, and then he did it. Well, he played turn one Grizzlebrand, and I dropped a Craterhoof. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you can still punch me for seven and do things, but, like, you're not going to be netting a ton of life. And with it already having a 5-5 out, and this is what happened, already having a 5-5 out, he couldn't commit to just going all in. Because on any given turn, like, if he whiffs, I can just untap and kill him. Because I already have 5 power. Like, so it was actually a really close game. And then I beat him because I had I natural ordered twice.
Yeah.
So.
That's got to feel good.
It was awesome. But, like... And then it just happened again, where next time he didn't bother with the Grizzlebrand, it was just Emrakul. It was just like, cool.
That'll do it.
Pop, pop. Okay, I guess. And, like, literally, I went to a Grand Prix down in Indy with Derek and traded EDH stuff into Blue-Red Delver. Because I was like, I got 3 Volcanic Islands, 4 Force of Wills, 4 Tempest Wastelands, 4 Scalding Tarns, like 2 Force of Negation. Like, I got the whole fucking deck. I just traded EDH stuff into it because I'm like, I'm done fucking, I want to play something with Force of Will because it's a combo format. And if you're not,
yep.
like, you're in trouble.
If you always fail the force check, it's...
Eventually it gets old.
It does get old. I know what you mean.
So.
Oh, I know what you mean. But I have a lot of fun. I have fun getting to do the broken thing. Like, I love when I get to have a hand that... I mean, like, for Premonitor, where I can go, like, on turn 3 or turn 4. You know, Stasis, Forsaken City, Root Maze. The game is over. I just need to finish killing you, but the game is over. Like, I enjoy getting to break the game. But I do agree that battling a game of Magic, like, one of the reasons I like playing control decks is I do love playing control mirrors. So I 100% agree that I mostly play on Arena, but when I load in and like my first land's a blue white land and their first land's a blue white land, I'm like, oh fuck yeah, I'm ready to play Magic for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, those kind of games, I don't get me wrong, because I do it too, and I built the decks for a reason, but those kind of games, they remind me of, like, they're the cotton candy of Magic, where I don't mind having cotton candy every now and then. Sometimes it's like you got a sweet tooth and you're just like, I gotta have something sweet, and that's great. That's not what I want to have for dinner, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, I want the majority of my meals, so to speak, to be relatively healthy games of Magic.
Yeah.
Where we both play a game, and I'm not saying you don't, but like, that's how I look at it, is like,
yeah,
I basically OD'd on cotton candy. It's like, and like, pre-modern is not a very cotton candy heavy format.
Yeah, no, it's so. Definitely not. It's a very meat and potatoes format.
Yeah, which is what I like. That's what I want to play.
Yeah, and so. It is fun. It is quite enjoyable.
But the cotton candy decks need to be there to keep some of the meat and potato decks in check, and it makes sense. Like I have no issues with the metagame or even those decks. Like, but like, for example, the Tangle Wire game didn't bother me nearly as much as the Masticore game. And I know, obviously, like, duh, you're playing Elves, you got Masticore. But, like, the deck is a prison deck. So, like, I was like, well, I'm playing against a prison deck.
Yeah.
Like, I expect... Now, 2 Tangle Wires on turn fucking 3 is a little much, but whatever. You know what I mean?
It was rough.
Because it wasn't just that. It was also Powder Keg. One of them... There was a Powder Keg involved in something. There's some nonsense Powder Keg that I had to play through the whole fucking time, too. So...
Oh, it was... I threw a Powder Keg down. I think it was against, you were playing some deck that made a bunch of tokens. Were you playing a Decree of Justice deck? Yeah,
that was one of them.
I think you were playing Landstill. I think you did play Landstill. And I threw a Powder Keg down and was like, well, you're going to have to beat me to death with a Mishra's Factory because you can't cycle and make 10 dudes. Yeah. I will not allow it.
And it turns out I just never tapped out and beat Stasis.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That matchup's a lot better when you've got blue. I will say, yeah. I felt pretty... I mean, even though I lost that last counter war, I still won the game. But like, I was like,
yeah,
man, it's nice to have a fucking counter spell to hide behind instead of just hoping to...
He doesn't have stasis.
That you don't have stasis and I happen to get a fucking naturalize. Yeah.
I did pick my spot to win a counter war, and I did find everything I needed to force you into a bad spot, except for the stasis to actually keep you from winning.
Yeah. Well, and that was a lot of fun, but also frustrating at the same time, because like, I've got a grip of like enchantment removal and shit.
Uh-huh.
Because for anybody paying attention, I had a meddling mage out, and that basically meddling mage just carried the game. And I think I poked you a couple times with a Mishra's Factory or whatever, but it was basically just meddling mage got there, which I love the fact that that's even a fucking thing. Like, I played a 2/2 and just killed you with it.
Yep, that's... I just lost to taking 2 damage a turn for 9 turns in a row.
Yeah, but it was just like, I lost that counter war because I had, like, annuls and shit, and we were fighting over a non-enchantment. That's, like, I was saving my my permission to counter stasis. Like, that was going to be the fight.
Yeah.
So, like, you picked a good spot.
It's like, because I basically waited till the end of the game, and I threw a mana short at him so that I can clear the way. And all creatures tapped out, mana's tapped out, we're good to go. And I basically, like, this is my last turn to be able to affect anything, and it has to be stasis on top of my library. And it was, like, Forsaken City or something. Wasn't stasis.
And you had the Root Maze in your hand, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Root Maze and...
So that was pretty much GG.
I had Root Maze and Elvish Spirit Guide, and I had a ton of fucking mana, like...
So untap, draw stasis, drop the Root Maze. pass into me with my entire board tapped out and
yep.
kill me with the Black Vice Vengeance. Yeah,
and that's just wait until I get a Black Vice. Yep, that's exactly what was going to happen.
See, that was a fun game.
It was. It was.
And I would have had just as much fun if you fucking won. That was a fun fucking game of Magic. Fucking meddling.
Oh, I agree.
So good.
And like, and so I had fun. Good. Like, I had a lot of fun in that game, even though I lost. But like, I feel like every decision mattered, and I feel good about the decisions I made. And like, I think I picked the right time to go off. I gave the deck as much time as possible to find the cards I needed to find. I felt good about the fights I picked. And it didn't work out, but it was a ton of fun, and I feel really good about how I played the game. I didn't don't have to win to have a good time.
Yeah. The more I play Landstill, the more I think Standstill just isn't a very good card in Remodern. Like, I cast it once in that matchup, and I know it's kind of a weird matchup, but like, I just never want to cast that card.
Mm-hmm. There's way too many mainlands in the format to be able to affect, like, unless you had like two or three mainlands down already.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the idea that you can just like hide behind Standstill, way too many decks are happy to not play the game or just run the mainlands of their own, or like the cards aren't as big a deal. Cause like you were saying, like if you play Standstill, we just make land drops for the next four turns. Eventually we'll both get to where we have seven cards in hand. I'll pop the Standstill to make something happen. And now you're discarding a hand size at the end of your turn.
Yeah.
So like you gained card selection, but you gained time, which is very relevant in a control deck. And you gained some card selection, but you didn't really gain great card advantage.
Yeah. And to be fair, in a lot of matchups, the goal there is I'm going to run more lands than you, so I'm just going to keep hitting land drops. So by the time you get to 7-7, like, I'm way ahead on mana, right? Yeah. That's the goal. But it's just, like, lands are everywhere in this fucking format. Like,
yeah, it seems like a lot of decks run an overabundance of lands.
Yeah, and the problem is, like, trying, like, there's obviously several ideal scenarios here. But, like, so you want to stick a Standstill and then, like, Decree of Justice, right? Or stick a couple Mishra's Factories and then pop Landstill. Like, you want to be ahead on board, then cast Landstill so they have to play into it, and then you get, you know, a really good Divination.
Yep.
But, like, I always feel like I'm behind with that deck anyways.
Uh-huh. Well, because it is, like, the deck never wants to commit to the board until you're ready to win. Like, you never Decree of Justice for three.
Right. I mean, you can,
even that,
but
that's
like,
six mana. That's turn six at earliest.
And it's just like, I'd rather just cast Factor Fiction.
Yeah. Like it's like the deck isn't designed to ever be ahead on board, really. Like, it's not like Green-White Terravor, where the goal is to play a 12-12 and then Armageddon.
Right. So
that's how you get ahead on board. That's how you lock a game up with things like Armageddon or Standstill. Like, that'd be the same thing where, like, I'm going to cast my 12-12 Terravor, and then I'm going to cast Standstill. Your turn.
Right.
Do something.
But, and the funny thing is like, at that point, you probably don't even need the Standstill.
No, because you have a 12-12 Terravor.
Right. And so, like, I look at this and I go, like, I think the black-white deck is better. I think Eternal Dragon and Sylvan Scrying are just better as a unit than, like, land or Standstill is. Like, because you're trying to do the similar approach to the game, right? Where it's just, like, answer everything. But, like, black-white answers everything, in my opinion, better. Like, I almost never feel behind on board when I'm playing black-white. I don't know why. Maybe I just play it better. I don't know. But, like, I feel like I'm, like, always one turn away from losing with land still. Or, like, like, if they sneak it in, I'm fucked. Because, like, you're relying on counter spells, which is just a lot of that is just bluffing. Like, I'm gonna leave islands open and hope you don't play into fucking counterspell. You know what I mean? Whereas just like with black white, like every card in the deck is either a threat or kills something. So like, or is a land. So like, you hit every land drop, you generate value with your Eternal Dragons, you like, you can just gum up the board with a fucking Exalted Angel. You've got like Gerard's Verdict and Sylvan Scrying for card advantage, Duress for like sniping stuff. You got like all kind, like the entire removal suite except for like all, like stack interaction, and it's just like, it feels just way better in my opinion.
Yep,
so, and I could be wrong there, but I personally don't think Landstill is like that great. Now, to be fair, I'm looking at the pre-modern Eastern Championship 2024, 48 players, and Land still got sixth.
Well,
clearly, like, people play it and they like it, but.
And part of it is we are not as good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I a lot of it probably boils down to, like you said, play style. Play style is really important. Like, I don't think I'd want to. I talked about that might be my deck over or after I get Stasis up and running. And I don't after watching you play it and playing it a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoy playing Stasis, and there's other decks I like quite a bit more than playing Standstill. So I probably will not become my next deck, because yeah, I don't feel as in control or comfortable playing. I don't feel like control's, well, I'm not good enough for how good control is.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about it. But
I almost kind of want to try a very similar list, make a blue white control list with like accumulated knowledge instead of Standstill.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's one of the things that I really don't like about at least the current list of our Standstill list, which is actually, it's really pretty close. Like, there's a few variations, but like, it's probably 95% as to what like a Standstill list should be. Obviously, uh-huh. Shit's changing all the time. Like, this particular one has 2 Absorb and 2 Stifle. Like,
yeah,
those are like meta choices and stuff like that.
Yep.
But I kind of want to have a blue white list that uses like accumulated knowledge, to generate card advantage, and like not lean on Standstill as much, because like it takes a long, like when a Standstill kicks off, it's obviously better than almost every accumulated knowledge you're going to cast.
Yeah, but like you said, you can always cast an AK.
Right.
There's many times when you cannot cast a Standstill.
It's also really good, like, one of the best things you can do, at least in my opinion, with Standstill is go, like, turn 1 island, turn 2 island, or basically have counterspell, have a counter going into turn 2, your opponent's turn uh-huh. 2, and at the end of their turn, Impulse.
Yeah.
Like, that feels really good, because you're like, okay, I'm in a good spot, they either cast something on turn 2, and I answered mm-hmm. it cleanly, or they didn't, at which point, going into turn 3, I'm going to have really good selection,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to pretty much guaranteed hit my land drop, and if I didn't need a land, I'm going to have like another relevant removal spell or card advantage thing going on, right?
Yep.
Like, that feels really good. Obviously, AK doesn't do that all by itself, but one of the things I don't like is it's a blue-white control list without any early cantrips. Like, you just have Impulse.
Yeah.
So, like, I know AK is not... It's not 1 mana, so like Sleight of Hand or Opt would be a potential there as well. But I feel like AK kind of like gets you some card advantage you need in the late game, and is easier to just fire off in the early game.
With a deck like that, I would definitely prioritize actual card advantage over
just couple
cost.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, like we talked about like in Stasis, the reason I want, you know, Sleight of Hand over Impulse is, well, Impulse is, you know, a better card. Like, seeing 4 cards is way more than 2, but like, I just need to be digging through my deck as fast as possible. So like, I would never consider running accumulated knowledge in it, because like, oh yeah, you know, late in the game I could draw 3 cards, but I don't care. I don't need 3 cards. I need a specific card. I don't give a shit about the rest.
Yep. So like,
so I agree with that 100%.
Now whether or not that's true or would actually be good, there is a decent amount of like, just not a ton, but like Phyrexian Furnaces play a lot, so like that would obviously really inhibit mm-hmm. AK quite a bit. But like, worst case scenario, like the floor of AK is it cycles.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
it's 2 mana and you draw a card at instant speed. It cycles.
Yep.
And then the next time you cast it, you're going 2 mana to go up a card at instant speed, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time you cast it, you're getting very close to Ancestral Recall.
Yeah, like, it's... Yeah, and like I said, and controlling like that, like that's what you're going for. That's the end goal.
Not to mention, it also plays. And so one of the things that people do, it plays well with Fact or Fiction, because you can put your opponent can, like, they get stuck in that decision where it's like, well, I don't want him to have AK in his hand, but it goes to the graveyard and he draws a card off it anyways. So like, it's just a good card with Fact or Fiction. Other thing a lot of people use AK with is Intuition. So you Intuition up for 3 AKs, they have to give you one, and that one draws 3 fucking cards.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty good.
It's pretty good. So that's something I've like thought about tinkering around with.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I just don't like, Landstill is one of those, or Standstill is just one of those cards that it's like, it's okay at parity and it's great when you're ahead, but if you're ahead, you're ahead. So like getting further ahead, like I like cards that allow me to catch up or like gain an advantage when we're at parity. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't need cards that make me win harder. It's a win more. It's a whole saying
it
around that.
It really feels a lot like a win more card. Yeah. Now I know there's plenty of situations where it's not, but like,
yeah, I need cards that are lose.
Card is that.
I need cards that are lose less, not win more.
Right.
And yeah, I agree with that. But I will tell you that we are getting a little long in the tooth, and I do have to make dinner tonight. So I say we continue this conversation on the Patreon episode. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, well, since we're not going to be back next week, is there anything you do want to cover before we sign out?
Nope.
All right, well, if that's the case, I think we'll see everyone in 2 weeks.
Yep, have a good couple weeks, guys.
Welcome, step on in to the Cantrip Cartel. Jake and Matt chatting meta games, we're slinging some spells, casting ale, sipping on blue soup and parting some veils. Glimpse of nature once upon a time, they're telling the tale of the elvish visionaries on the wildwood prairies, where the brainstorms are so fearsome, so scary, so legendary. Queer and ranger scrounge the sylvan libraries, for when the greens and zenith would parry the clouds and turn their swords into plows. Let them rotate the crops, abundant growth in the ground. Nourish the life from the loam until it flourished unbound. Seeds of innocence burnished all the birchlorian mounds. Gaia's cradle exhaled, carpet of flowers unwound. Birds of paradise sang, tropical islands of sound. Allosaurus shepherd danced on dinosaur stomping grounds. Jake and Matt pondered deeply all this magic they found. Through their visions doused in serum, they saw only for how to convey these magic stories aloud to the crowds, the masses. Make the voices heard, share the truth, the magic. Through ancestral visions, they felt compelled to draw every single card with the Cantrip Cartel. Draw cards with the Cantrip Cartel. Drawing cards with the Cantrip Cartel.